Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s. It works for members like...
I'm Haley, and I've lost 100 pounds. Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects. It's all in one place.
Weight Watchers handles the insurance for you and offers affordable cash pay options. With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
I'm Mike, and I've lost 135 pounds. Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
I'm Sharia, and I lost 80 pounds on Weight Watchers. I realized that it would take more than a prescription to lose weight and feel good on a GLP-1.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last.
I can't imagine doing a GLP-1 without Weight Watchers.
Get started for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com/GLP-1.
Medications require eligibility and prescription. Patients on 15 milligrams of tirzepatide had an average of 21% weight loss in a 72-week clinical trial when paired with diet and exercise. First month as low as $25 with a 12-month MedPlus plan. Does not include the cost of GLP-1 medications.
This is Cynthia Ganoff, and you are listening to the Mesmerized Podcast.
Hey friends, welcome to the podcast. Glad you are here for week two with Carrie Kampakis. If you missed last week, we talked about soft skills in our kids and why that's so important. And so be sure and go back and listen if you missed it. And then this is week two, and we are talking about dating relationships and our kids. And I will definitely say for myself personally, this is an area where I felt and continue to feel totally inequipped. That's not even a word. Ill-equipped. There you go. Feel like it's one of those things that I don't know. I don't see that many books on it or podcasts. Maybe it's out there and I somehow missed it, which would be on brand with my new book, right? But I think as we're walking our kids through dating relationships, it's really hard. It's hard to know when to speak up, when to stay quiet, when to share what we know from our past and when to let them learn that. I think there's times where we love who they're dating and maybe that doesn't work the same way, work out for them in that way. Or there's times where we have concerns and our kids don't. And if you hear nothing else, I would just say dating relationships and my kids has been something that has kept me praying hard. It's kept me on my knees because I think we all know if you've been married very long, I've been married 25 years now, like you go into marriage not knowing much at all. And I'm so grateful in my own marriage that the Lord went before me and he knew what I didn't know and he knew what I needed and he gave me a man that was faithful and loves the Lord and loves our children well and is slow to speak and is patient and kind and absolutely opposite of me in so many ways, yet in the most fundamental, meaningful ways, we're the same and we're aligned. And I'm so grateful because it's none of the things I was really focused on when I was 20, 21, 22, not thinking through the longevity of it all. And so I think it's one of those things we pray over our kids, but also we try to gain as much wisdom as we can along the way. And that's what I hope today that Carrie and I can share with you. She talks from the perspective of a girl mom, and I have a girl, obviously, but also a son. And so just talking through that from both perspectives and sharing the knowledge we've gained over the years. I hesitate to even say wisdom, but hopefully it will be helpful to you. And I'm just glad you're here joining us and listening. And so enjoy today's show with Carrie Kampakis. It's week two, the last week we'll have with her, but it's been super fun. And so here we go with Carrie Kampakis. Carrie, it's so fun that we are sitting in the same room taping podcasts.
I know. Number two.
I love that. I don't know if you thought of this topic or I did. I'll give you credit, but I think it's great talking from the perspective of a girl mom versus a boy mom, although I have a girl, but on dating relationships. And so super fun that we get to do this. What dating advice, I was thinking about this in my own life, what dating advice did you get from your parents, like when you were at that age and you were interested in boys and started going out?
I really don't remember getting any.
I don't either.
I think I just kind of picked up my lessons the hard way, the old-fashioned way, just through experience. Yeah. I wish I had, though.
Me too, because I think the advice I got in dating came from my friends.
Yeah, yeah.
It was not solid.
I think so, or something you would just like pick up in a magazine, which isn't always the best advice, you know? But
Right.
Yeah.
Yesterday, I was at the airport flying here, and there was a probably 25-ish-year-old couple. They weren't married, or they didn't have on rings. And
he was talking so ugly to her, and she was, I guess she had told him to not talk so loud, and he's like, oh, you're being ridiculous. Oh, you want me to be interested, but now I can't talk, like just going on. And she wasn't really saying much, and it just kept going and going. And I just wanted to look at her and be like, run.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
I mean, I don't see that y'all are married. It doesn't say that you are. And like, you deserve better. And listen, it will not get better if this is what it, you know, like.
Yeah, that's what I always say. I'm like, it should be bliss before you get married.
Right.
You know, it should be, you should not be fighting like that.
Yeah.
Before it even starts.
Did you have any dating disasters like you can think of in high school or college, like before you got married, any that you look back on and you're like, oh, that didn't go well, or I should have thought this through? Or
I mean, I can't say that I had disasters, but I dated, that's what my girls and I laugh about, because you know, they're like, you had so many dates, Mom. But I'm like, people dated back then,
right?
Like it wasn't a big deal. There's so much pressure put on going out to dinner or going to coffee now. But I was like, the upside of that was I went out with a lot of different people, not necessarily long term, but just a lot of different personalities. And that is how I knew what I liked and I didn't like. And so I will say, for the most part, I was always attracted to good guys. Like I always liked the SGA, you know, the athlete. Like I always liked somebody who was on a good track for the most part.
Yeah.
But I had a few in there who were not so great for me. And I'm like, you need those too.
Right.
You know, those are really the ones that, I mean, those are the ones that also like finally led me to Harry. Cause I'm like, he was the package. When I met him, I'm like, I know that he is the right one for me. Like, I knew exactly what I was looking for. I knew what I wanted and what I didn't want. And so that was one thing that dating helped me decide.
Yeah. And there's kind of a movement, and maybe this is something that I see. Maybe it's more in Texas or people I follow on Instagram, or I don't know. But it seems like there's this movement towards you should not go on a date with someone unless you know that they're marriage material. Like you do this investigative work. And
right,
as a mom of a boy, like I hear my daughter and her friends, amazing Christian girls, talking about this, like, oh no, I've seen, he's a player. He asks out a lot of girls. I don't think you should go on a date with him. Or he's, you know, he's had a history where he used to drink a lot in high school. And as a mom, a boy, I listen to this and I think, gosh, like,
nobody's going to live up to that standard.
I'm raising boys. We're trying our best over here, but they're boys.
Right,
my gosh.
Right.
And it also, and I told these girls one day, they were asking me about it and this dating philosophy. And I said, listen, one, that's putting a pretty high bar for all these boys to have it all put together. But I said, it also, that comes from a lack of humility on the other side of it too. Like, are you all that together? Like,
do you
not have things that you could have done differently? And so I do think that there is a push towards this seriousness in dating, and it's got to be someone that you can marry. And I'm like, I dated all kinds. And I guess I would say that's my dating disaster. I dated a guy in high school that's just horrible to me. And he asked my best friend to prom, and we were still dating, Carrie. So that was awkward. I mean, just all
awful.
These things. And I wish, I'm thinking through things that I wish somebody would have said to me, like, this is what to chase after. And so I thought I'd list out the things that I wish somebody would have told me, but also what I tell my sons and my daughter. But these are the things. And let me preface this by saying, nobody has all of these things like intact. It's all going perfect. Like, if this person exists, marry him tomorrow, right? But I'm just saying, a person that's pursuing these things is a person worth you pursuing as well. And so what I wish somebody would have told me, and what I hope my kids look for in dating, is someone that is chasing after Jesus regularly.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they just, that would be the most important thing, that they have some sort of relationship, that they're chasing after the Lord. The second one I have is that they, especially for my sons, as they're dating girls, that if they could find a girl who has a confidence that comes from knowing her identity in Christ.
That's good.
And you can find that. You can figure that out with a girl, because, and I'm one of these girls that's done this. I've had my confidence.
We all have.
Right? My confidence has been in everything from my appearance to my accolades to the car I drove in high school, like everything. But if you could find a girl that that does know that her parents have really instilled that in her, that your confidence comes from whose you are and not what you do and what you wear and what you look like. I mean, another one, that the last one that I wrote down, I mean, there's a million, but it's just someone that's kind to everyone. I thought, you can especially tell, I tell my sons this, my older one, especially, see how they are with people that can give them nothing. That aren't higher in the social status, that maybe wait the table that they're sitting at, that, you know, like, how, what's that kindness look like with them? When you remember Hoda Kotb that was on the Today Show?
Uh-huh.
And I remember when she retired or went to do other things, everyone talked about their favorite things. And Craig Melvin, one of the other hosts, he said, the thing I love about her is there's a light that comes on with the camera when you're on, but she's the same person when the light goes off that she is when the light's on.
That's
what you want. Like, yes. I talk to my kids about that. I'm like, what are they like when the light goes off? When, you know, not everybody's looking, when, you know, like,
yes.
Those are things to watch for. So I wish somebody would have told me those. Do you have things that come
yes.
to mind?
You know, and I want to add, I went walking with my daughter this morning. We were talking about this and I was like, I have this little list in my head, obviously the things that I tell my daughters, but I'm like, if I had a son, just, you know, that was your age, that's in that age where you're potentially getting, you know, dating seriously and getting married. I was like, one thing that I would really emphasize to him is look for a girl who's going to be a great mom. Mm. And these are things that you don't think about when you're that age. But I'm like, it's really important because most of the time the mom is the one who's with the child, the kids the most. Mm. And, you know, I know situations where the mom wasn't healthy or she wasn't making good decisions and the husband's trying to do surgery and trying to work. And yet in the back of his mind is always worried about whether his kids are safe or whether they're okay.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, that's something a guy needs to think about.
So
like,
good.
Can you go do your job and fulfill your calling? Like your wife might be working too, but you've got to be able to trust that person. Mm-hmm. It works both ways, but especially for a guy. And then also just to go back to what you said, I thought was so good about the girls and the high expectations. Like, yes, we should have high expectations, but you got to be realistic, like
right.
you said. And something, we might have talked about this before, but it's so funny that, you know, when girls have had great dads, that sometimes they think that the boys they meet at 22 should be like their father, who's 50 years old. And one of my daughters told me one time, she was like, I just started crying the other day because I'm never going to meet a guy like my dad. Mm. And I'm like, well, you're not going to meet him at 22.
Right.
And I was like, your dad, who he is now, he was awesome at 22, but he was not the same person he is now. Like, mm-hmm. he has grown a lot, you know, mm-hmm. and you can't expect that at your age. And so, you know, and they say don't date potential. And I get that. You don't want to date potential, but you do want to. The qualities might not be fully in place mm-hmm. there, but you do want to see that they're pursuing those things. Mm. And so an example of that is, okay, you know, you want a guy who's going to be your spiritual leader, you know, but I had a friend that her cousin called her. She was like, I don't know if she was dating a great guy. She's like, I just don't know if he's my spiritual leader. And my friend turned to her husband and she was like, hey, Joe, were you my spiritual leader when we were in college? He's like, I don't think so.
Leading nobody. Yeah,
he
in the
grew
right
into
way.
That role,
yeah.
but he was not there. And so you got to kind of look at those. And this is the key as girls, is we are so intuitive. And I think we can pick up on those things, for better or for worse, of what we think can translate well into the future. So for example, like Harry is really deep in his faith now, but he wasn't this deep in his faith at 22. He really didn't even go to church in college because he's Greek Orthodox and there wasn't one in Tuscaloosa and he was doing other things.
Mm-hmm.
But when we started dating, you know, he'd go to church with me and I'd go to church with him. And he was always so open to that. We did that every single Sunday. So that was a good sign. Also, I remember seeing that my nephew was having a birthday party and they needed somebody to dress up with my brother-in-law, and they asked Harry if he would do it, and he did it for these little kids. And so I was just seeing that. I'm like, oh, he's going to be a good dad one day. And then I remember my dad was running for office, and so he helped us go campaigning one day, and we kept losing Harry. We're like, where is Harry? And it turned out he would be with these little old women that he'd go knock on their door, and they'd invite him in for coffee and cookies.
Aww.
And but just like he was so patient and so kind to them. And that just going back to just being kind to people who can do nothing for you.
Mm-hmm.
And that just impressed me. And I was like, I just like him. He's just a good person. So I think those are the things that you can see early on that you're like, okay, this is somebody I can maybe build a life with.
Yeah, yeah. And I love that you're saying that about don't expect the 50-year-old Harry to be the 20-year-old, you know, and that
yes.
is a high standard, again,
yes.
as a mom of boys. And we know, we've all heard it ad nauseum, you know, their forebrain isn't developed and all these things, but it's true.
Yes.
Emotionally, they run most of the time. There's some old souls out there, but they run less mature. They, you know, they have a little more figuring out to do.
Mm-hmm.
I think about my husband, Mike, who's amazing. But when I started dating him, our first year of law school, he was a baby Christian. And I grew up like in the Baptist house of all Baptist houses. Like I knew my Bible. I'd been in VBS since I was in diapers. And
mm-hmm.
I mean, I remember I started dating him. And one of the things that I think I realized in him, he didn't know the Bible. He didn't come from, to this day, doesn't have any believers in his family.
Wow.
But one, he saw kids at FCA that lived differently and he mm-hmm. wanted to know why. And he went and he explored and he gave his life to Christ. And I was like, that takes his big high school / college athlete. That took humility and really a person that wanted to do things right and figure it out. And I love that about him. But the first date he asked me on Carrie, he asked me if I want, he said he knew a bartender and he could get me free drinks. Okay, I'm not a drinker, and that's no shade on anyone else. That's fine. But right. I'm just not a drinker. And yeah. So part of me is like, read the room, like know your audience, first of all. But also I was just kind of like, ugh. And so I ended up going on a date with him, not for drinks, but I went on a couple dates with him. And I remember at some point saying something to the effect of, I don't ever want alcohol in my house. And there's a lot of reasons behind that that aren't worth going into, but that was just important to me. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I just can't date someone seriously that drinks as much as you do. And it's that integral to what you do. Mm-hmm. And he didn't take another drink for probably a decade or two.
Wow.
Like, he's like, I don't care enough about it to.
Wow.
He's like, I care more about our relationship. And if this is a deal breaker to you, it is not a deal breaker to me. And not the drinking is not the point. The point right. is someone that was willing to say
right.
that matters to you and you matter to me. And so that's not a problem.
Yeah.
And
that's not a deal breaker.
Yeah. It's not a deal yeah. breaker. And so I think those are the things that, you know, you start looking for in these guys as you're dating them. And
yes.
So
the other thing I always, going back to like the number one thing, actually the number one prayer that I pray for my future son-in-laws, and even for the boys that my girls go out with or have dates with, I just pray, I was like, God, pick out young men who have a heart like you. Mm. I think about David. And I'm like, you know what? That's all that matters. If they have a heart like God, mm-hmm. then they're good. You know, like mm-hmm. that is my biggest prayer. And I even tell my girls, like, it's you want a guy who's going to put God first, mm-hmm. his family second, and his career third. Mm-hmm. Now, a lot of guys claim to do that, but they don't. But truly, you want them to put God before you. Mm-hmm. And I remember growing up, my dad would tell us that those were his priorities. And I remember feeling like kind of insulted as a child, like, why would he put God before us? Mm-hmm. You know, obviously I understand it more now, but, you know, even just thinking about, you know, you watch marriages over time, you see what happens after 20 years, 30 years, and people that you maybe never thought would have made some really terrible choices, you know, sometimes do down the road. But you got to think that, you know, every marriage goes through rough patches. You can see where there might be, if you're going through a rough patch and there's some temptation there and somebody wants to stray or be unfaithful, you know, you got to think that if that person is devout, if they truly care about the Lord, then that's their last line of defense. You know, yeah. It might be, well, I'll do this to my wife, but what about to God? Mm. You know, like that mm-hmm. moments like that, you realize, or, you know, say they're tempted to steal from their company or whatever, and they think they can get away with it. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the last line of defense is like, oh, I don't want this, you know, I don't want to sin against God. You know, this, I don't want right. this on my soul. And that's why it matters so much. And you don't really know that when you're 22 or 25 years old. But if you're sharing a life with somebody, their judgment is going to become your judgment. Mm-hmm. You know, the consequences they face in their life, you're going to face those consequences too. So even Harry and I, we're redoing our wills right now. It's kind of weird. We're at the age where, like, trying to figure out where we want to have our burial plots. His
yes.
church has a cemetery. He's like, I think we're going to buy some 6 plots over here. I'm like, this is so weird. We're talking about this. I remember your parents talking about this when we were dating. But, you know, we're looking at that. We're redoing our wills. And, you know, we're signing all these documents. And, you know, I'm like, this is what you need to be showing the 22-year-olds before they get caught married. And I'm thinking, this is what you need to be showing the 22-year-olds before they get married, as I'm signing these documents about, you know, whether to take me off life support. Mm-hmm. And I truly can go sign all of this without thinking twice. Like, I totally trust his judgment. I don't question it for 1 second. But I can't say I would be that with just anybody that yeah. I married, you yeah. know. But again, making good judgment calls. And I think that's equally true if you have a son. Teach it. You want a woman who's going to mm-hmm. make good judgment calls.
Yeah. And I like that as we're talking through these things, these are the conversations I think that we need to be having with our kids. Mm-hmm. I mean, when they're at the age where they're dating, especially if they're dating more seriously, they're, you know, they're getting older and we're having less of a voice in all the things that they're doing. And so being able to, instead of me saying like, okay, now listen, I want to make sure, like, don't date anyone that isn't chasing after Jesus. Like right. that's going to get a right. big fat eye roll.
Right.
Right. But being able to have
and it's so vague.
It's, like, what does that mean? Like, how do I do that?
Because somebody yeah. can look like they're chasing Jesus yeah, and they're really not. A wolf in sheep's clothing.
Right. Yes. And so then being able to talk through the way we've seen it in our marriages. And some of us, as we're listening, have had really hard marriages. Maybe this isn't, that's a harder spot to speak into it.
Right.
But to be able to have examples, like just like when you're redoing our wills, like these are the things that come to mind. And,
yes.
and to really have thoughtful conversations without saying, look for X, Y, and Z. Or I think even harder is when they are dating someone to be like, oh, I don't see X, Y, or Z. Well, maybe nobody asked you.
Right. So, right, right.
I mean, that's why I think starting
And you don't
early.
Know how they're going to develop. You know, right. I mean, I look at myself and I'm like, oh, you know, I was a much different person when I was 25 or 26. I thought I was pretty far along, maybe for that age I was, but I definitely have evolved and grown since then.
Yeah.
And I hope people weren't judging me, you know, like by judging my future by what they saw at that age, because I had a lot of growing up to do still.
Yeah, nobody needs to be judged by their, I say this all the time, nobody needs to be judged by their 16-year-old self.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Like a lot of maturing from that.
You know, and say like back to your husband's example, say you are really deep in your faith and that's important to you and that should be important to you. Okay, well maybe, you know, if you see, if you're dating somebody and you see that you're like, I just see so much potential in him. And he's kind of interested in going to church. He's interested in the Bible, but like encourage that in him and see what happens. Don't force it, but like say, you know what? I feel like you're such a passionate person. If you ever felt that passion toward the Lord, you could be really incredible in ministry or just encourage that. And that's one strength I do think we have as women is that men don't always get that encouragement. Like that's one thing girls bring to the table. Like guys don't hype each other up like that, you know? And you know, if a guy treats a girl well, she will respond and treat him like $1 million. The right girl will, you know, like you will get that encouragement and just that confidence that you need to go do what God is calling you to do.
Yeah. Yeah. Mike and I dated 7 years. I recommend that to nobody. Now, part of that, we were in law school, some of that and other things, but I will say this, it was one of those where I think over the years I could see through examples like what I mentioned earlier, examples of like, he's going to be great. Mm-hmm. Like he may not be there yet, but
right.
I had many years to watch so many scenarios play out.
Yes.
And had I judged it on one scenario, if I had judged it just on maybe growing up in a Christian home or knowledge of the Bible, or there were some misaligned values but year after year, the more time we spent together, I realized like, we were lining up better and he was so open. Like he just hadn't been raised the way I had. And that doesn't mean my way was perfect by any means, but in terms of biblical truth. And I do think there's something to, I felt pressured and I felt like people were like, I knew the minute I saw him, this was the one. I couldn't live without him or all these things. Well, that may not be the story. And for all of our kids, and I speak this over my kids because I had a different situation, but being able to say like, listen, sometimes it takes some time, some investigative work.
Yes.
And sometimes you date for a couple of years and it's not the one and that's okay.
Right, right. Don't stay with them just because you've invested 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
I also say too, and I'm sure you would say this for boys too, but listen to what their friends say about them. You know, like listen, like one thing I liked about Harry was his friends were always bragging on him or talking. And I remember one of his friends being like, oh, he's just such a good guy. Like one time we were in Wendy's and this lady in front of us dropped $100 bill. And he's like, I'm looking at like, And Harry just automatically picks it up and gives it back to her. And so, but you know, and I contrast that with another guy I went out with that was not such a great guy. And it was so funny. We were at a party. I think it was our first date. And we were at a party and we saw a friend of his who I'd seen the night before when I was on a date with a different guy. And this guy was friends with him too. And so he basically, and like, we both were like looking at each other and I'm like, don't say anything that I mean, I wasn't dating anybody exclusively, but it was just funny.
Yeah.
And when this guy who ended up not being a great influence for me, and when this guy who ended up not being a great influence on me, when he walked away, this friend who knew both the guys that I'd just been out with that weekend, he kind of whispered, he's like, I like the other one better. And so it was just, I mean, I always went back to that. That was our first date, but I think he was trying to warn me. And this was somebody that my date had called his friend. And so I'm like, those are little things you got to pay attention to.
Yeah.
Sometimes as girls, we ignore them because we like the person or we only want to focus on their good qualities, but everybody's going to have good qualities. You know, everybody's going to have some redeeming factors. And so you've got to really, when it comes to marriage, you've got to trust your gut and, you know, look at those red flags. And like I said, see how people respond to that person.
Yeah.
Are they respected? You know, do people look up to them? Do people trust them? What do their friends say about them?
I had heard one time that someone had said for girls, look at how the boy treats his mom. And I think there's truth to that. How does he treat the mom? And I would say as a boy mom, I would say with a girl, look at how she talks to her mom. because
that's good.
And we all have sassy, grumpy moments, but I yes. think by and large, if you can see a lot by the trend yes. of how a girl speaks to her mother.
Yes.
I think that, so I think that was probably wise advice that I heard, you know, watch how a boy treats his mom. I think
yes.
that's true.
Yes.
How does he treat his mom? Does he hold doors? Is he, you know, is he
yes.
kind of respectful and chivalrous and the things, some of those things. But I think with girls, I tell my son, I'm like, how does
that's
she
good.
Interact with her mom? How does she interact when she gets a no with her parents? Like, mm-hmm. how does that play out? Like, these are just things
right.
to keep an eye on. Now, will she grow up? Absolutely. Does that definitely, definitively mean that, you know, that if she's hideous at 17, that she's going to be hideous
no,
at 40?
No, but I think it's a great point. And it goes with something that I tell girls, like, and even moms, because I think sometimes as moms, especially in the teenage years, to keep that relationship with our daughters, sometimes we can take more than we should or just mm-hmm. excuse it. Like, well, she's on her period or she's having a bad day or she's going through a rough patch.
Yep.
I heard my girl say sometimes, like, oh, my word, like, this girl is so mean to her mom. Like, mm-hmm. it's interesting. They can be mean to you, but they don't really see it until they see somebody else doing it to their mom.
Yeah.
And so, you know, luckily I always grew up with a dad who wouldn't let us talk to my mom that way. Mm-hmm. Like, he always interrupted, don't talk to your mother that way. And Harry will do that when he's around. But he wasn't always around. And so sometimes when they got sassy with me, I'd be like, I love you, but you can't talk to me that way. Mm-hmm. And I think it's really important for us as moms to teach our daughters that, because, you know, I was like, you know, one day it's not going to be me you're coming home to and taking your anger out on. It's mm-hmm. going to be your husband. It's going to be your roommate. And you are going to ruin your relationships if you don't learn to control your emotions and not take it out on other people. So that you know, that just kind of gives extra affirmation to that. Like, not only that, but, you know, your future, you might lose the best boy you've ever met if he's noticing how mean you are to your mom.
Yeah.
Not that that's the only reason to do it, but, you know, it's going to impact the way people see you, and it's helping our children long term by teaching them, like, you know, don't talk that way to anybody, especially your mother.
Yeah, that's really good. Hey friends, can I introduce you to our newest podcast sponsor, Time for Learning? And Time for Learning supports a flexible, personalized homeschool experience for your family. What I love is it's an all-in-one curriculum. It's online and everything you need to teach pre-K all the way to 12th grade. And flexibility, I mean, that's the key here. You can travel, you can explore your kids' passions and hobbies without the constraints of traditional school hours. And so you can get started with a monthly plan to see if it's right for your family and multiple students. Yep, you can do that. You can save up to 30% by opting for an annual plan. And they also have stay on track features, which is templates for transcripts, grades, diplomas, just makes it easy to match the homeschool requirements in all 50 states. And get this, they have been in business 20 years and served over 1 million students. What I also love and what I plan on doing in my house, it's a great way if you don't homeschool, just to supplement. Things you can do in the afternoon, you can do it over the summer to bridge gaps. And so I'm excited about doing that with my youngest. So check it out. If you're curious if Time for Learning is right for your family, visit timeforlearning.com. That's time4learning.com to explore their curriculum and find the perfect plan for your student. You can get started with a monthly subscription to see just how much your kids enjoy learning on their own terms. Red flags. And I'm really hesitant to even put red flags because, again, people grow, they mature. Like, but if you were going to give red flags to your girls, things that, and by the way, do it, vaguely, like just and not, you know, just generally speaking, not when they're dating someone, be like, oh, that's a red flag. Like,
right.
that becomes kind of judgmental and condemnation versus just having conversations mm-hmm. in the abstract about, hey, these were red flags for me. Things that, and these are things, man, I would hope I just don't want for you. And
yes.
So, one of the ones I put down for, a mom of boys is, entitlement. If he's mm-hmm. dating a girl that there's a sense of entitlement, just to amount of time he spends with her or the amount of money he spends on a mm-hmm. date or a gift or those things. And you can see it maybe in her relationship with her parents
mm-hmm.
and it's
lack
hard.
Of gratitude.
Yes.
Yes.
It's hard. I was telling my friends, last night that with our daughter, we worked really hard. I want her to be able to marry whoever God wants her to marry. And mm-hmm. I don't want her to get so accustomed to a lifestyle that we might be able to give her as 50-year-old parents that
right.
she wants to marry someone in the military, or she wants to marry a youth minister, or someone that she couldn't do that. And so we've tried to always kind of hold back and save some, not give her everything that maybe we could, because mm-hmm. we want her, one, to be able to marry whoever she can, but also we want a guy to be able to give her things someday that we hadn't already given her.
Yeah, that's good.
The most fabulous jewelry or the greatest vacation in the world or yes. the brand new car or like, we're like, we want to leave space in that.
Yeah, I love that.
But the entitlement thing, if I had a red flag for as a boy mom, I would say watch that. But what about you?
Yeah, I think I agree with that. And I'm hearing about a lot of young couples getting divorced because of financial issues. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times it's the girl has no concept of money and she's treating her husband's income like her daddy's income.
Right.
And I think this is the fallout of living in an affluent age where girls have been spoiled and are accustomed to things that are not normal for a 22-year-old or 25-year-old. And so I'm always aware of that too when I'm raising my girls or I'm putting them on a budget. I'm like, I am doing your future husband a service, you know, and I want you to realize the value of money, and I'm going to make you help pay for this so that you realize how hard you have to work to go pay for this shirt or these shoes or whatever it is. But I agree, you know, and you're really, you want them to have what a financial advisor told my friend this, I loved, that he's like, you know, you want your daughter to be able to be happy, whether she is on the arm of a pastor or a CEO. Mm-hmm. And so his advice is like, give her high experiences, but give her low experiences too. Like maybe take a nice vacation, but go camping too. Mm-hmm. Like help her develop that spirit of contentment, whether she has a lot or whether she has a little, she can be happy. Mm-hmm. And if I had a son, I would definitely be emphasizing that because I think that a lot of girls in this day and age are they're going to have a rude awakening when they get married. And I'm hearing about the issues it's causing in marriages.
Yeah. And let me add one thing on that too, is I hear a lot of girls, my daughter's friends saying like, well, talking about majors in college, and they say, I don't care. I mean, I'm just going to stay home. I just want to be a mom. And I think that's great and noble and amazing. And I'm so grateful that there were years in there that I was able to stay home and just be a mom. But as a boy mom, you can't assume that that's going to be available. Like,
right,
that's,
right.
I mean, in a perfect world, if that's what you want, that's great. And I believe the Lord will honor so many of these great things we pray over. But at the same time, there's realities financially.
Yes.
And especially if you want to live a certain lifestyle, you may need to work and help your husband that. And I just feel this pressure for these boys of like, they want to have these great lifestyles and all the great things. And you somehow have to have a job that does all of that and be a great husband and be a great dad. And like, who can handle they're crushing.
I know.
Those crushing pressures. And
I
so.
Know. Well, now I was just listening to a Dave Ramsey. And I was just listening to a Dave Ramsey podcast where he was talking about suicides. And he's like, among males, it's almost always financially related. Mm. And I'm like, that makes me so sad. And I can see it, especially when you live in an age like this where so many people are living in affluent areas and the dads are feeling that pressure to keep up and they don't really have anybody to talk about their struggles or their fears with. And they're working so hard, but yet it never feels like enough to support their family and the lifestyle that maybe their wife and the kids are wanting. And so, you know, as wives and women, we want to take that pressure off as much as we can, you know, to be there and know that that's not what it's all about. Obviously, you want somebody that's financially secure. Mm-hmm. But like you said, I mean, I'm raising my daughters. We're like, you know, my friends and I talk about this, the day of the stay-at-home mom, it might become more and more rare because, you know, when you're here in a society where they're talking about 50-year mortgages, you know, these kids can't even afford a house and kids, it's expensive. And so I also think, too, like, you don't know what's going to happen to your husband. Like, your husband might, I've had friends who've lost husbands through accidents or divorce, and you might have to go back to work. Mm-hmm. And so you just always need to have that in the back of your mind. And I always want to equip my kids to have that ability that if they need to support their family or they need to go back to work, they're able to do it.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. And as far as red flags on my end, you know, I read an article on narcissists, and, you know, my biggest thing is just, especially when someone comes on too strong, when they love bomb, you know, when they're really.
What's a love bomb?
Love bomb is like, come on, like, can't get enough of you. Like, you go on one date and all of a sudden they're calling you every single day and they're sending you all these gifts and they seem like Mr. Dreamboat. And I'm like, that always raises a red flag with me.
No boys really that way.
No boys, like, you know, like, that's not normal. But that's what a narcissist will do is they will just sweep you off your feet.
Okay.
And especially for a girl who has not had a lot of experience dating, she can really fall for that because you think, oh my, he is checking all the boxes. A lot of guys, too, they know how to mirror. I mean, I have a friend. She's like, he knew how to mirror me. I said I wanted to, you know, live in Maine one day. He said, I do too. You know, it's like everything she said. And so she's thinking he's this perfect guy when really he's kind of a wolf in sheep's clothing. Hmm. So again, with girls, I just think that we have gut instincts. And my biggest advice is like, pay attention to your gut. You know, like the right people and the right guy, especially if you've got God's spirit in you, the right people are going to give you a sense of peace, you know, and then the wrong person, you're just going to have this feeling like something's not right. Mm-hmm. And it might not be there every day, but it's gonna arise every now and then that you're just gonna be like, I like him, he seems nice, but something just doesn't seem right. Mm-hmm. And when I did that article on narcissists, it was very interesting. I put something on Instagram and I had people emailing me. I just put it on a story, like, hey, looking for stories if anybody knows this, has something on this topic. I had people emailing me that don't even follow me, that their friends had told them about the story. It was crazy. I had like 13,000 words to work with. I'm like, this is going to take me weeks. But it was so crazy because everything fell into like 10 categories. Hmm. It's like everybody's story was the same. Mm-hmm. Some had married, some were just dating, but they were all like, if I can share this to help the girls behind me, I will. But every single one of them, what they said was that I had kind of a gut feeling at the beginning that something was off, but I ignored it. So I just think with red flags, especially if you've been raised mm-hmm. by a dad who loves you, if you've had good role models, if you know what normal, healthy relationships look like, then you're going to notice those red flags, things that just don't sit well with you.
Yeah.
Or maybe, you know, you feel like your boyfriend's lying and he keeps telling you he's not, and he's getting mad at you mm-hmm. and turning it around on you, but you cannot shake the feeling that something is not adding up. Mm-hmm. You know, like trust those feelings and yeah. know that there's usually more to it than what you see.
That's so good. Okay. As we're getting closer on time, I was thinking we could hit a couple of things just from a different perspective, boy mom versus girl mom. One of the things I wrote down is what girls may not know that's really happening behind the scenes when they're dating a boy. And I say this because having raised a girl first, I didn't know. And you know, you haven't lived the other side of it. And now I've raised a boy. I'm like, oh gosh, now I understand some of the things that happened with my daughter when she was going on dates I get it now because I have a boy. So I would just say this. Boys hide insecurity with humor or like bravado,
you know,
real cool and all that. So when they come off as, oh man, they're funny and cool and together, like that's masking insecurity a lot of times.
Interesting. Okay.
And so that's just something to keep in mind. I also think, and one of my friends and I were talking about this last night, it takes so much courage for a boy to ask a girl out mm-hmm. for a date or whatever it is. I mean, that's just a lot of pressure, that any sort of laughing, mocking, anything, you know, behind, like that's crushing to them. And so I would just say as a mom, I would say teach our girls to say no nicely and politely and respectfully and how they speak of that boy. And I would say also, here's another one, the boys fear rejection as much as girls do. Mm. And so I think with boys, it tends to be that the girls who really put themselves out there and all the things, they tend to get the dates because
they make it easy.
They make it easy on the guy. There's no, you know, the guy, why wouldn't you ask her to homecoming versus the girl that you really like that seems really cute and all this, but she won't make eye contact. She won't talk, right?
Right.
I mean, that
it's the sure thing.
Yeah. Yes. And so they fear rejection just as much. We talked about this earlier. I'd say boys take longer to mature and engage emotionally. Mm-hmm. And so as your daughters are dating boys, just keep that in mind. It is true. I see it all the time mm-hmm. in my house and outside of it. And then, now this isn't really necessarily on point, but this is something I just want to add in. This whole promposal thing going on and these expectations of how a boy is supposed to ask them to the dances and all these things. Like, mm-hmm. I would just say as a boy mom, that's a lot. And actually the boys aren't typically good at it. So it's the mom doing it.
Yes.
And so I would say if we could dial back some of the expectation, that's a lot for a boy. And there's some really great kids out there, boys out there that don't know how to do that dance or don't care to do that dance, you know, all of the things.
And because usually the ones who are great at that are the narcissists, I hate to say it.
Yeah.
You know, which is why girls can get swept up in it. But yeah.
So those are some of the things I think about that maybe if you just are raising a girl, maybe you haven't thought about what's going on behind the scenes with a boy. And that, by the way, on homecoming, the girl takes the entire day to do 1,000 things to be beautiful. And the boy takes a shower and walks out the door and it takes 9 minutes and it's really something. So
makes your job a lot easier.
Yeah. What about you?
Yeah. Well, and just to follow up on what you said, I got an email recently and this mom's a boy mom and a girl mom. And it was a great point, and I totally agreed with her. She was basically like, her son, you know, and his friends, they planned like to go to dinner after homecoming, but their dates really wanted to do something different and they wanted something more elaborate. So the girl moms got involved, which I would never do that because I'm like, this is the boy's thing.
Yeah.
The girl moms got involved and all of a sudden they're switching it to the country club and they're doing balloon arches and they're just making it a big to do. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this is a great point. And I agreed with her because I was like, you know, these girls, girls, you want boys to step up, right? But you got to work with them, and you got to know they're not going to be at 22 who your 50-year-old dad is, mm-hmm. if you have a great dad. They're not going to, but they're in the works. You know, it's all in the making, and you got to give them the opportunity to plan it, even if it's not perfect, and even if it's not the level that you would want. But just give them that opportunity to plan these dates and to do something special, knowing that you got to start somewhere. Mm-hmm. And as they have the opportunity there, if they do it again, the next year they might step it up and it might keep growing from there. But, you know, you've got to give them room to grow and give mm-hmm. them opportunities to take the lead. Because if you don't, if you always take over, then you're going to be frustrated down the road mm-hmm. that your husband never takes the lead mm-hmm. and you have to boss him around and tell him everything to do because you never gave him the opportunity to step up and be a man. And, you know, one of my favorite stories of how a guy can evolve is there's this priest that I just really, really look up to. And I'm friends with his daughter, and she was telling me that, I mean, he's just like such a father figure, just like so full of wisdom. Everybody respects him so much. But his daughter told me that on his first date with his wife, he didn't even go to the door to pick her up. He honked. And I'm like, I just cannot picture this at all because it does not match with the priest or the person that I know now. But it's just his mom, you know, his wife was basically like, don't you ever do that again. You know, uh-huh. like girls, help them rise, but be kind and loving about it. But that just shows you that, like, you know, they're not going to be at 50 who they were at 22.
My cat called me. You know that, I can't whistle, but that, you know, that.
On your first date?
In the parking lot in law school, the first time I ever met him.
That was your introduction?
That was, yes. And we're okay, everyone. But yeah, like, that's just boys being dumb boys. Like, what was that?
Right. Well, and even Harry, we talked because we didn't start dating until 23 when we were out of college. But there was a night when we were 18. I'd gone to Gadsden, his hometown, and we flirted with each other all night and talked for like 3 hours because he'd always been one of those people like, oh, he might be fun to go out with. Mm-hmm. And he thought the same thing about me. But I just remember that night I kept wanting the conversation to go deeper. And all he was talking about was going out and being with his friends and having fun. And I kept thinking, surely there's something more there. And there wasn't. It just did not go deeper. So I kind of wrote him off. And when we started dating 5 years later, we went heavy fast because we like just like knew that was mm-hmm. the one. But I told him, I was like, you know, that first time that we talked mm-hmm. in Gadsden, like, I thought you were shallow. I kind of wrote you off. And he was like, I was an 18-year-old boy. I probably was shallow.
I was.
I'm like, yeah, you're right. I kept thinking there has to be something deeper. And there just wasn't. But you know what? Give it a little time. And he was in a different place. I was in a different place.
Love that. Yeah. Okay. What are things maybe if we're raising boys, we're not thinking about that girls are going through as they're dating?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, I guess just thinking about myself, I think that something that boys might not understand is that girls need a lot of reassurance. And it doesn't take much, but, you know, you hear a lot of girls like, oh, you know, I haven't talked to my boyfriend in 3 days, or he's been so busy with baseball. And I think boys can get so focused and fixated on whatever they're having to do right then, especially if they've got, you know, something they have to really lock in on. But just, you know, it's okay to do that, but take 5 minutes to send a text or just touch base. And mm-hmm. that's not something that comes naturally to a lot of them. But I think if they're in a long-term relationship, especially, that what often happens is what I hear about a lot too, is that the boys start off strong. You know, when you like a girl and you're trying to get a girl, you're like taking her dinner, you're wooing her, you're doing all these things. And I remember this for myself. It's like when the boy slacks off, all of a sudden he's gotten you, and then he's not putting in that same effort, and you feel taken for granted. Mm-hmm. And that's something you hear about a lot. And so that was something that I always loved about Harry, is that he started off strong, but then he was always consistent. He never let down after that. And obviously it wasn't the same level as when you first start dating.
Yeah.
You know, we'd go to nice restaurants then, and then we evolved to Taco Mama or whatever. But but I do think that just that touching in, those little touch points,
it's
just
great.
Reassurance and also, you know, if you pick her up, even if you've been dating for a year or for 2 years, you look beautiful. Wow, you look amazing. Just that does not get old. And she needs those little comments, those little pick-me-ups. And just those little things can go a long way. I also think that there is something in a girl that wants a guy to take the lead. Hmm. And I don't mean like the toxic masculinity. And this is something where I know it can be very confusing for the boys. But there's something in us that loves when we feel taken care of and provided for. Mm-hmm. And I'm perfectly capable of taking care of myself. You know, I'm perfectly capable of buying my own meal or buying my own coffee. But I love it when Harry steps in to do it. Mm-hmm. And one thing I remember was when the kids were little, it just stood out to me. We were at Starbucks one day after church. And I was about to pay for our meal. They'd all gotten hot chocolate. We'd gotten some food. And I was taking out my credit card to pay, and I just see this $20 bill kind of come over my shoulder. And it was Harry. He knows we're married. We've been married for 20 years at that point. I was perfectly capable of paying the bill, but I loved. There was something in me that just felt so loved and protected by that. And I think that it's just innately in us girls. We want those guys who, and I hear from moms sometimes, you know, my son, I've taught him to be a gentleman. He's taught to open doors, but his girlfriend gets mad at him. The girlfriend's parents get mad at him when he makes those efforts to be a gentleman. And I was like, you know what? It's probably just not the right girl. Mm-hmm. And she's going to have to go date a jerk for about 2 weeks to change her tune. And she's just going to have to learn that lesson the hard way. Yeah. She might think she doesn't want that in a guy, but just go date a guy who's the opposite. And I promise you, she will see why it matters.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember, and Mike is so good. Same as like Harry's so good at taking care of me, almost like I am so independent, so it's hard for me to allow him to, but I just remember when, we all had young kids and, babies. And I remember one time I was walking into church and I'm holding this heavy car seat things, you know, the infant carrier, and I have the diaper bag and I have my Bible and all stuff. And he's behind me with it, like drinking his coffee. And I remember setting it all down and looking at him being like, are you kidding me? And he goes, one, I wasn't thinking about it, but two, he's like, you just always do it all. Let me. And I thought, you know, there is something to that. Like, let me do some of the things and start it early. Because I was fully capable of carrying it all. Yes. And I probably did 10, 20, 30 times before and didn't think a thing about it. But that time I was like, well, this is too much. And like, you can't read my mind.
Exactly. And I'm the same way. Because I just grew up, just do it myself if I need it done. And so, when you're very capable, it can be very hard to do that.
Right.
But let them take the lead, because if letting them have those small opportunities is going to evoke them and help them evolve into a bigger leader where they can make the big choices.
All right. Okay. As we wrap up, let's talk about this really. There's so much more. I mean, I have lots of notes here that we're not going to have time to cover. Back to PDFs was apparently what we need to be doing here, Carrie.
That's right.
I would love to talk about, but we're not going to today, boundaries, talking to our kids, like the talk and boundaries and expectations. I think that's a whole nother podcast we could do. But I thought this one, I had also made a note about dating someone with different religious beliefs, talking to our kids about that, the difference between protecting our kids and being controlling in their relationships. I mean, I just think there's so much we can cover.
Yes.
So now I've teased you into what we're not talking about, but here's what I thought. Let's just discuss quickly this dating in a digital world. And I think it's tricky. I mean, obviously we all think it's tricky, but I will say my daughter got asked to prom her sophomore year. That's the first year in our high school where they take dates. And she three boys in a row, like when people started asking, they all panic. And so everybody starts asking, and three in a row DM'd her. And I remember thinking, and I was like, that's no good. Like, you're DMing her to ask her. But then I remember later on when I was like, well, Kate, why don't you text him and ask him, you know, what color, whatever we're wearing or whatever. She's like, oh no, texting would be too formal. I'm like, when did texting get formal?
That's hilarious.
Like, at all these layers of, you know, I don't want him to think I really like him. I'm not going to text him. And I was like, well, I mean, if you picked up the phone and called him, would that be like a proposal? Like, I don't understand. And so talk to me, thoughts on that. Just how did you guide your girls through dating in a digital world and posting and all the things?
Yeah, I know. Well, you know, it made me think of this story. I heard of a girl recently that she was like 35 years old, and there was a guy who had just gotten divorced. I think he was 50. I cannot even remember who told me this story, but he was 50. One of my friends works with this guy, and he saw this girl, thought she was pretty. He asked her out, and she went out on a date, and they had a good time. And so he called her again, you know, a few days later, asked if she wanted to go out again. And she's like, well, I'm so sorry, but I'm going out with somebody. I'm kind of dating somebody. And he's like, oh, wow, I'm sorry, I didn't know that. And he's like, well, why didn't you mention that up front? And she was like, well, nobody's ever asked me out in person before. And she was 35 years old.
Wow. Yeah.
And I thought she just liked that. She liked how that felt. And I think that is such a great story to share with our kids. Like, it just is going to hit differently, especially if it is somebody that you like. You want somebody to... Because that's what helps somebody become a man, is to step it up and take that risk of rejection and doing it face to face. So, I don't know. I think, obviously, when you're dating somebody, I think it's fine. Text after that, you know, hey, you want to go out or go grab a bite to eat. But I don't know, you know, the whole digital world. I think with my kids, the main thing that I emphasize, especially in the teenage years, I was like, the best thing you can do to be prepared for dating and to be prepared for marriage is to learn how to be great friends with a guy. Like, you know, because that way, regardless whether you marry somebody or not, you've got a great relationship. But, you know, learning to truly be friends with a guy, like friendship is such a huge part of marriage that people don't talk about. And I've heard it said, I have a friend that always tells her children, a great marriage is going to have lightning and health. You know, you're going to have that chemistry, that physical attraction, but you also have the health. And I think the friendship is the health.
Yeah.
And you've got to be friends with your spouse. Like, you've got to have that friendship because that's what's going to get you through the hard times. And so I think that's something that they can learn at any age that's going to benefit them for that long-term marriage. And, it, you know, if you're treating them like a friend and if you're going into it with that friendship mentality, you're not as likely to make some dumb mistakes as you would as if you're just looking at every guy as somebody you could potentially date.
That's really good. I think that's a good, like, parting piece of advice. Like, teach them how to be good friends with a guy or guys with a girl. And again, back to my daughter and their friends and this whole new trend on only date someone you're going to marry. There's also a trend in there that you shouldn't be friends with guys that you're not going to date.
I'm really?
Like, what is that? Like,
I've never heard that.
Yeah. So I love that you said that. I would say my last little thing I'd say about dating, and again, I'm sitting in your house because I'm on a girls trip with some friends too. And we were coming here and then we're going somewhere else. But you know, a girls trip, you get to talk about all the things. We're all raising all these kids. And so me and my two girlfriends last night were talking about this. But one thing that that I think comes back to mind and we talked about last night is just, I remind my boys this, but also my daughter. But remember when you're dating people, treat them like they're someone's spouse. Maybe yours, maybe
yes,
not.
Yes,
but like,
I love that.
Leave them better than you got them.
Yes.
Like if it doesn't work out, but that is probably somebody's spouse.
Yes.
And how do you want your spouse to be treated right now, whoever might be dating them? And so just having a little global, a little bigger picture of that.
Yeah. And I think too, and imagine yourself in 20 years, you're with your husband and they're with their wife and you're running into each other. Mm. And you want their wife to be thankful that they went out with you, that something you did made them a better person.
Yeah.
You know, how do you want their spouse to feel about you? That you, like you said, you enriched their life.
Yeah. Well, this is all good stuff. Hopefully this encourages and helps everyone, Carrie. And also, hopefully people are having conversations better than our parents did with us.
That's right. That's one good thing about this generation. We're much more intentional.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for doing this, friend.
Yes. Thank you. I loved it.
All right, guys, I want to thank you for being a part of this the last 2 weeks, hopefully, with Carrie. We've got lots more shows coming your way, talking about a lot of other topics. Would you share today's show with your friends, other moms? If you're anything like me, we're all looking for something to help us through these dating relationships, whether our kids are dating now or will be in the future. So if you would share today's show, it means so much to me. And we will be back with more great stuff coming your way. Thanks for being a part of the Mesmerized family. You guys are the very best.